Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Let's do that again. Happy Sabbath. Maybe it's just because it's kind of warm today. Nice and cloudy, and there's water vapor in the air, and maybe some water will fall on the earth. We have just recently observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where we talked about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus was our sacrifice, our Passover, for forgiveness of sin. And then we talked about putting sin out of our lives. And now we come to close to the next of our major holy day seasons, which is the Feast of Pentecost. The Jews observe this as first fruits, which they call Shavuot. They don't do it on the right day anymore. They've changed how they calculate the 50 days, and so it's usually never. They don't count seven Sabbaths and then do the Sunday after the seventh Sabbath anymore. They just do it 50 days after the second day of their Passover observance. As the Jews celebrate, this was the time when the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, and God gave them His law, His Ten Commandments, and the blueprints for forming their physical nation that they would build when He brought them into their promised land. In the Church of God, we celebrate Pentecost as the anniversary of the beginning of the Church of God and the general pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. In the time of the what we call the Old Testament period, we know that from numerous scriptures that there was knowledge of God's Holy Spirit, and there were a number of people who actually had God's Holy Spirit. We can read that after David's incident with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite, when he repented bitterly, this prayer in the 51st Psalm, among other things, he asked God to not take His Holy Spirit, take not Thou Holy Spirit from me. Now, we know that, of course, he couldn't ask to have something taken from him that he didn't have. God refers, and Jesus frequently refers to the Holy Spirit by comparing it to something we have plenty of on this planet, which is water. It's a common principle in the Bible. There's a number of scriptures that tell us that we can learn of the things of God by observing His creation. 75% of this planet is covered with water. Some of it is in frozen solid in ice caps. Most of it is in the form of salt water in the oceans. And then we have fresh water in the lakes and in rivers and streams. And there's water underground in wells. Some of it springs and bubbles up. Water is the only physical substance that exists at the same time in all three forms on the planet, in solid, liquid, and vapor form. And there's a cycle where water melts from the ice caps, flows down through the oceans and the rivers and the lakes. Heat causes it to rise, into evaporate and rise into the air, where it cools, forms clouds, and falls back as rain. It's a cycle. So every drop of water can eventually, at one time or another, I think I read somewhere that it takes maybe 120 to 200 years for a given drop of water to eventually find its way all over the planet. So the water that you drink today may have been drunk by somebody 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. The water that you cook your grits with this morning, several years from now, may wind up falling as a snowflake on some mountain in Asia. Water goes all over the world. It's abundant everywhere. our bodies, just like the planet. The God who created this planet and designed a water system for moving water through the planet also designed our bodies the same way. The human body is almost 75% water. Some parts of the body have more water than others. The brain tissue is 85% water. Even our bones, which we like to think of as being solid, and of course, you know, we talk about dry bones, almost 60% water. So water is very important in the human body. The water is, of course, is very much misunderstood by the medical community, especially. They tend to see it as just a space filler. It's just something that's just there. Maybe it transports stuff through the body, but there's been a mistaken notion that the body processes are regulated by the solids that are carried in the water, by the solids in the body and not by the water. We are born in water. During the 9 months before our birth, we live in a world of water and nutrients. The water carries tiny electrical signals that initiates all of the cellular processes, such as converting sodium into potassium and moving water between through the membranes inside and outside the cells, runs our electrical system similar to the chemicals in a battery. It provides the medium from nutrients to go into the cells and waste to come out. It aids in digestion, carries waste products from the cells to the organs of elimination, cleanses our internal systems and flushes waste out of the body and toxic materials out of the body to organs like the liver, the kidneys, the colon, the lungs, and the sweat glands. It regulates our body temperature. It lubricates and cushions the joints. If you have certain types of rheumatoid arthritis, maybe because you are chronically dehydrated, water, the body's drought management system, will actually move water from different parts of the body to where it's most needed. And if you are dehydrated, certain parts of the body will be deprived of the proper amount of water. So like the cartilages between your joints will not be filled with water, so they won't be cushioned and they won't protect your bones from rubbing against each other and causing you pain. Water carries nutrients, oxygen, hormones, and other chemicals to the cells. The brain is 85% water. There's a substance known as histamines regulate water distribution in and through the body, and it is active only when the body begins to be dehydrated. This is a cause of a lot of a contributing factor, or even a cause of a lot of what we think of as allergies that we wrongly treat with drugs and medications. Signs of dehydration can include headaches. It's one of the first signs that your body needs water. Headache is not a sign of aspirin deficiency. It is a symptom of water deficiency. Histamine action, most pain medications that you take for headaches and other things are antihistamines. They block histamine action in the body. That which prevents then the body from actually moving water through the body where it's supposed to be. It's estimated that 80% of the population of Europe and North America are chronically dehydrated. We have, in our modern society, have counterfeits for water. Most people, they say, oh, how can I be dehydrated? I drink liquids all day long. I drink coffee. I drink tea. I drink sodas. I drink beer. I drink alcohol. All of these things, once you add something to water, you know, your body does not see it as water to use it the way it uses water. It sees it as food. And those other things you've added to the water have to be digested just like food. Most of the things that we add to our water are dehydrating agents. The sugars in the sodas, the phosphorus and other chemicals in the sodas, the caffeine in the tea and the coffee, the alcohol in the beer and the wine and other things that we drink, not to mention many other things. There's several books where one of the best places that you can go to read a lot about water and how it works in the body is a site called watercure.com. It's written by it's managed by a physician who has studied water and water's effects in the body and how the body uses it and manages it for over 40 years. Found some nice trivial things about water. I just went to an EPA site. It says there are approximately 1 million miles of water pipes and aqueducts in the United States and Canada, enough to circle the earth 40 times. The first water filtration works opened in Paisley, Scotland in 1832. So the idea of treating, filtering water in a modern fashion is fairly recent. A gallon of water weighs 8.32 pounds. A cubic foot of water weighs 62.4 pounds. An inch of water covering 1 acre is 27,154 gallons. It weighs 113 tons. Water vaporizes at 112 degrees, freezes at 32. It's the only substance that when it freezes to a solid actually becomes lighter than its liquid form, which of course is why ice floats. It takes more than 10 gallons of water to produce a slice of bread. It takes 1 gallon of water. It takes 634 gallons of water to make 1 pound of hamburger. At one drip per second, a faucet can leak 3,000 gallons of water a year. Water makes up anywhere from 55 to 78% of the weight of our body. The brain is 80% water. The Bible is full of references to water. There are many places, if you read the story about the Israelites coming out of Egypt as they wandered, about how they camped near water sites, how they camped near wells, how they... There's one place in Exodus chapter 15 where it talks about they camped by a well that had 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water. Jesus refers to living water frequently and compares the Holy Spirit to water. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 is when he's talking about, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says about being born again in verse 5 of John chapter 3. Jesus, at first he says, talks about that if you have to be born again. In chapter 5, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," it's just like I mentioned, we're born in water, "born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When in the book of John chapter 9, I think, is it? The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he goes to a town, and it tells us that it's about the ninth hour, which would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right about the hottest part of the day. And he meets this woman. He's sitting by Jacob, a well that Jacob had dug. And the Samaritan woman comes to him, and he asks for water. This is chapter 9. I think it's chapter 9. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Start at verse 9. And she asks, "How would you, a Jew, ask a Samaritan for water?" And in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" And then she says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You have to top it off. You have to drink water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may drink, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus, then of course Jesus asked her to go get her husband. Then you read what happened about, he said, no, yeah, you don't have a husband. The man you're living with is not your husband. You've had five before. And so the woman said to him in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. So then she runs and drops the water pot and runs into the town and tells everybody she's found the Messiah. And in Jesus talks about worshiping on the mountains. And in verse 22, he says, You worship what you do not know. Verse 23 talks about worshiping in spirit and truth. And verse 24, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, then of course Jesus tells her, I am he of whom you speak, I am he. In the sixth chapter of John, the whole chapter talks about bread, where Jesus is talking about his body is bread, and his blood is about the body and the blood. And in chapter 7, just a couple of verses where it talks about on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus stood up and he said, if this is in John chapter 7, verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In verse 39 it says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those who believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. When the Israelites, there are many mentions throughout the whole Bible of about wells and water, some of the prophecies of about the kingdom of God, the millennial prophecies, talk about how it compares drought and when there's no water, and then it talks about springs bursting forth and the desert blossoming like a rose and different types of plants growing in different places. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 34, you don't need to turn there, but it says, No man, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least to the greatest. It said, to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. In Proverbs, you don't have to go there, but Proverbs chapter 1, 23, he says, Turn at my rebuke. In other words, listen to me when I rebuke you. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. In Isaiah chapter 32, there's a comparison of the land. He says in chapter 32, verse 13, this is just comparing when you don't have the Spirit of God or water, even comparing it to water, and when you do. It says, On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city. In verse 14, because the palaces will be forsaken and the bustling city will be deserted. In verse 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. And in Isaiah chapter 35, we read at the Feast of Tabernacles where it talks about that the waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of the jackals where each one lay. There shall be grass with reeds and rushes, talking about plants. When the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, when God gave them the law, and the tradition has it, the Jewish traditions and a lot of church traditions, that this is a Pentecost thing. Chapter 19, they're given instructions about going and waiting for 3 days and not going too close to the mountain and keep their distance. And in chapter 19 of Exodus, starting in verse 16, it says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sounds of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Verse 18, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the pain and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered in voice." In verse 20, "Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. And he said to Moses, 'Go down and warn the people, lest they break through and gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish.'" And then, of course, in chapter 20, he speaks the commandments. And he gives them the Ten Commandments. And you see the result of what happened there. That let's see what we got. Chapter 20, starting in verse 18, it says, "Now all the people witnessed thunderings, the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain quaking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we'll hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, and that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Now let's compare this to the book of Acts when we talk about the Pentecost. That is, this Pentecost will be the 1983rd anniversary of the Church of God. Chapter 1 of the book of Acts, we have in verse 4, and Jesus is talking to them shortly before he ascends to heaven. Maybe as much as, maybe 10 days or so before Pentecost. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' Verse 5, 'For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" They're still concerned with their traditional view of the Messiah, that he would come like a military figure and kick out the Romans and set up the kingdom of David in Israel. Verse 7, "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" And then we see where that then actually happened in the next chapter, where the in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it said, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Of course, we know there were 120 people there. These people were not at Mount Sinai at a distance, watching from a distance, like on TV. This gets up close and personal. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then, of course, we read where people accused them and said, what's wrong with these people? They're drunk. What's gotten into them? Maybe they found some new wine. And then in verse 12, and of course, they asked, what does it mean? In verse 13, and of course, people mocked and saying, well, they're drunk. And then Peter stands up in verse 14, stood up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. In the first century, basically, the daytime started at 6 and ended at 6, and the night started when it got dark. And so you have 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night. Verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall, and he quotes almost directly from chapter 2 of Joel here. And in verse 17 of Acts 2, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And it shall come to pass that whoever, and of course, then verse 21 it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now, probably that passage was almost a direct quote from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, I think. Let me find it here. And we'll just read. It's almost a direct quote. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Verse 29. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And of course, in the, you don't have to turn there, but Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So it's constantly comparing the spirit to water. Just like water in the body, we need a complete hydration of God's Holy Spirit in our lives to keep us alive spiritually, just like we need water to keep us alive physically. You can go 28 to 30 days without food if you have water in your body, but you can go no more than 5 days maximum without water, and you will begin to have all kinds of crazy things happen to you long before that, maybe even 2 or 3 days if you have no water. Just like water carries nutrients to our body, God's Holy Spirit brings to mind the things of God and teaches us and guides us and helps us to know what we need to know spiritually. We go to wells or fountains to get physical water, to get God's living spiritual water. We go to the well of His Word, which is His Bible, which is what we're doing right here today and what we will be celebrating when we observe Pentecost. From one end of the Bible to the other, from Genesis chapter 1, when God's Spirit moves on the water, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, it talks about water and the water of life. Right at the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, there's a passage where it says to come and take of the water of life, take freely of the water of life. And God has given us the opportunity to take freely of the Holy Spirit when we were baptized with water, symbolizing the burial of the old and the resurrection to the new. And then when our hands were laid on us, and it was prayed that God would give us His Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that happened to the first disciples of Jesus at the beginning of the church, and also in Acts chapter 10 and 11 when it talks about what happened to Cornelius, the first Gentiles to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. It carries on from one year to the next, from one generation to the next, for over 1900 years, almost 2000 years, God is still now pouring out His water. So if you want a title for this, it could be God's Holy Spirit, like water poured out. Drink up